seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I direct you to the second book of the Chronicles, chapter 15, and the seventh verse. The second book of the Chronicles, chapter 15, and verse 7. Be ye strong, therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. The second book of the Chronicles, chapter 15, verse 7. Be ye strong, therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. Asa had just returned from the great battle with the Ethiopians, and the Lord had wonderfully heard and answered his prayers. It's a wonderful thing to receive clear answers to our petitions. It really is a wonderful proof that our prayers are real. Some of the old preachers used to say the proof of our prayers being real is by the answer. But oh, in this dark and solemn day, so many times the Lord seems silent. And this will exercise and burden the real child of God. But poor soul, give him no rest until he hear and answer your petition. I often think of that couplet of the hymn, he tarries oft till men are faint and comes at evening light. You see, we so often expect the answer now, don't we? But sometimes we have to wait a long time for it. But the Lord's a sovereign. But these words we have named as a text, what Azariah spake to Asa and to all Judah and Benjamin. And really, you see, they were the Lord's message to him. And it's a wonderful thing to receive a message from the Lord himself. It's vital. And much time could be spent in going through the verses previous, but I want to particularly look at this word we have named. It came to me with a measure of sweet power yesterday. And it was a word that he was going to need. Not only that day, but for the future. It's like I've often said, the Lord, when he gives a word to his dear people, it's not just for that day. They're going to need it as they venture on in the journey. And this was a most needful word the Lord was to speak through Azariah, because he was the messenger. The message came from God. We read, and the Spirit of God came upon Azariah. And that's what we need continually, isn't it? The Spirit of the Lord to come upon us. whether we speak or whether we hear. If you go to the day of Pentecost, not only was the Holy Spirit poured out upon dear Peter to preach a precious Jesus to them, but the Spirit of God was poured out upon them that heard the word, so they could hear for eternity and hear to profit. Now, he says here in the text, be ye strong therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. Now, Asa was going to need much grace, and it proved to be God's grace that wonderfully enabled him to do it, to remove all the idols and the false gods that there had been in the land. And none of us know what we may have to walk through in the future. He was given grace to stand for what was right before the God of heaven. But that was going to cost him much, wasn't it? And therefore the Lord said to him through the prophet, be ye strong therefore. Now who is it that needs such a word as this? It is those that know so much of their weakness. Now I want to look at it in a few ways as help. First of all, do we know our weakness? I don't mean just naturally, but in our souls too. We're poor, weak, helpless worms. And you see, the Lord will have his dear people brought to that place. Why? That they might be dependent upon him. For that strength they need, both in body and too in soul. And this word, be ye strong, was a wonderful exhortation to him, wasn't it? Be ye strong. You see, he knew that in seeking to do the Lord's will and obeying the Lord's commandments, there would be so much opposition from Satan and all his agents. But the dear servant of God had got to be strong. Be ye strong. And it may be there are those that have got things before you this morning, like he had here, that he needed this word. But just to tarry with the weakness. You see, the Lord can weaken the strongest of men in a moment to make them lean upon him. I often think back to my own dear father. You know, in his early days, he was one of the strongest men there were. And yet, when affliction came upon him, it made him one of the weakest. And in it was the divine teaching of God. And you see, the more we are taught our weakness, the more we shall need the Lord. It's like the hymn writer said, weaklings have the victory won. But oh, what was before Isa? Oh, this great mountain of removing all these idols and the wickedness that was, and we're wonderful mercy if the Lord were to raise up men such as that in this solemn day. Not only in the nation, but too, may it be in our churches too, that there may be a gracious standing for the old paths and for the narrow way. And if that is so, it'll cost us much, and we shall need such a word as this. Be ye strong. Now what an exhortation. Those of you who've got things before you, it may be operations, it may be exercise concerning following the Lord, and yet you feel so weak. It may be like, to use a simple illustration, the case of dear Joshua at the death of Moses and the great task that was before him to lead the children of Israel after Moses was taken. I love that first chapter of the book of Joshua. And you think how many times the Lord, through that chapter, speaks to Joshua, he feeling his weakness, feeling his lack of knowledge compared with Moses, feeling his inability to lead the children of Israel and all that was before him. But what did the Lord say to him? Be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go with this people. Be strong. And the Lord didn't just say it once, did he? He speaks it again and again and again to him. And why? Because he was going to need it. Be strong. As I woke this morning thinking of this text, one's mind immediately went, and the Lord dropped it in with such sweetness into my soul, what the Lord inspired the dear Apostle Paul to write to the Ephesians. How they were to be strong in the power of God's might to go forth. In the power of his might. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, you see. Where was this strength to come from? From the Lord himself. And there's no strength like that, child of God. And as he strengthens, you know, we can do everything, can't we? As he strengthens the impossible things. We think of what the apostle said himself. When I am weak, then am I strong. And we think too of what he said further, I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. You know, if we go in our own strength, we shall soon fail. But in the strength of heaven, the child of God can venture on as he gives them strength. And don't think that you're going to have strength today for tomorrow. That's what our old nature, and it takes it for granted, doesn't it? I remember your late beloved pastor saying on one occasion, he said, you know, I could have not got up this morning I will put my feet out of the bed without the Lord giving me strength. You think how dependent we really are upon the Lord. You know, the Lord can take away that strength in a moment, and he can give strength to the weakest and most frail characters. Oh, he can. Such is the power of our God, you see. And it may be there are those of you that got things that are between you and the Lord before you this morning. And you come up, Lord, how shall we go on? How shall we venture? Well, the commandment is clear in this text, isn't it? Be ye strong, therefore. Be ye strong, therefore. It's directed personally to Asa, it was here, and I will say this morning lovingly, it's directed maybe to some poor soul here, be ye strong, not somebody else, yourself, be ye strong. Therefore, now, what do we need the Lord to strengthen us in? Well, look in our own poor souls. Do we not need the Lord to strengthen our faith? So many times we feel to have got no faith at all. So many times, if we've got a grain of it, we feel that faith so weak. But what do we read in the Word of God? You think of the disciples. How many times the Saviour reproved them because of their lack of faith? Where is your faith, he says to them. O ye of little faith. But then we read too of that occasion where we read they were strong in faith, giving God the glory. And you think of those characters that ventured. How could the dear woman with the issue of blood venture to the Saviour? Look at it first in body. Look at all her weakness, all the affliction upon her. 12 years she'd had it. It wasn't just one day, was it? And what had it done? It wore her down and down and down. And some of us know in affliction where we keep being brought down and down. And you know, really, we need to be brought down. She did. The flesh won't like it. Oh, no. The hymn writer's words are so true, isn't it? The flesh dislikes the way, but faith approves it well. You know, he brings the sinner right down so the only place they can rest is upon their God and lean wholly upon him. And the only place they can look will be to him. It's no use looking to herself for strength, was it? The Lord had took it all away. It was no use her looking to all the doctors and physicians. Oh, she was wonderfully helped to go to them. It's right we should use the means. But sometimes we have to come where the hymn writer did, didn't he? When he said, when quacks should all fail. So look at it bodily. She got no strength. How could she venture to the Saviour? well, in the strength of the Lord. But then what was there before him, before her? There was this great crowd, you see, surrounding him. How could she press through with all her weakness? Well, in and of herself she couldn't, could she? But look how he strengthened. Be ye strong. It was just as though the Lord was whispering in her poor heart, now be ye strong. I can remove the crowds. And he did, didn't he? But then, look in her heart. How was it she could venture to the Saviour? Not in any strength of her own of soul, was it? The strength was what the Lord gave her. He strengthened her faith. What did the Saviour say to her when she touched his garment? And she needed that strength, you know, to touch it by faith. That garment of his divinity. Not only just his natural garment, but the garment of his divinity. She touched because she believed he would heal her. That was her faith in gracious exercise. Believing the Lord would heal her. And as soon as she touched, she was made whole. And what did he say to her? Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. That's a wonderful word, you know. Thy faith. The Lord had given her that faith. It was hers because he'd given it to her. Thy faith, that which God hath given thee, hath made thee whole. Go in peace. And oh, how her very body was strengthened, and so was her soul. Be ye strong, therefore. But then, those of you that may be faced with a roaring devil, Satan, ever active, and what is he trying to do, child of God? Well, he's not just trying to destroy you and your little hope and your little faith. He's trying to destroy God's work. You know, I often think of Satan coming against the Lord's dear children. He's not just attacking the child of God, he's attacking their God. That's what he's doing. He's trying to destroy what the Lord has given them and what he's done in them. Now, there may be those of you that are continually being attacked by Satan. And really, if we've got a real religion, he will attack. And he used all the gunshot of hell. You think how many times he attacked David of old. And you look how the Lord strengthened David to resist the devil, to stand against him. You know, it's a wonderful word. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. And you may immediately say to me, well, I've got no power to resist him, and you haven't, child of God, and nor have I. Noah, dear David. But in the Lord, the sinner has all power. It'll be the Lord that'll fight the battle, not you, poor soul. And he'll give you strength to stand against him. Oh, he will. You think of David when he went forth to fight Goliath. How did he go up? There he was, that stripling, feeding and caring for his father's sheep. Go up against this master in battle, Goliath. Not only was he a great stature, but a master in war. The difference between David and Goliath was this. David went up into that battle leaning upon the Lord's strength, dependent upon his God. And if the Lord failed him, he'd be finished, and he knew that. But you see, the Lord won't fail his dear people. The Christian's hope will never fail. They'll fail, but that hope won't fail. But how did Goliath go up? He went up in his own strength and leaning upon his own armour and leaning upon his ability in war and leaning upon all the hosts of the Philistines that were behind him. And such leaning and such strength will fail. And you look how wonderfully David overcame the great giant in his God, you see. And poor soul, where's your strength and where's mine this morning? Oh, that we might be strengthened in faith more and more. I often think of some of the old godly saints, you know, the wonderful faith they had to believe the Lord would provide for them in providence and he'd provide for them in their souls. They were strong in faith. Oh, they were. And may we have a grain of that real, living, vital faith. Because without it is impossible to please God. But then, oh, to be strong in love. In love. You think how strong the love that the Lord gave to dear John, the dear apostle. And oh, how he, and you read his epistles too, and the love that flowed through them and from them. The love of God. And you know, the more we know of his love shed abroad in us, the more we shall love him, love will be strengthened. We mourn so often, don't we, that our love is cold and it's faint. And people say, oh, well, you should love the Lord more, as though they, a person's got power to. We got no power at all. Christ spoke it, didn't he, to Pilate, if I remember rightly, when he said, I have power to deliver thee, or power to crucify thee. And what did the dear Redeemer say? Thou hast no power at all. The power belonged unto God. And oh, may we know more and more what it is to be strong in love to the Lord. And you know, the more we know of that love shed abroad in our poor heart, the more we shall love him, the more we shall adore him, the more we shall know that preciousness and suitability of the dear Redeemer, suited to our very case. When you're in your weakness, and this just drops in, so I will just name it, and I speak it with much reverence. You think of the precious Redeemer in the Garden of Gethsemane, in all his agonies, bearing all incarnate God could bear with strength enough and none to spare. You think he knew his weakness. It's been a great help to me, you know, in times of much weakness. The Lord knows our weakness, and he knows how we need him to strengthen us. And you think of his beloved Son in the agonies in the Garden of Gethsemane. What do we read? There was dispatched from heaven an angel to strengthen him. And poor soul, if the Lord of life and glory needed strengthening, so much more do we. Be ye strong, therefore. But then, may we be stronger and stronger in grace. I know what you say, oh, but I mourn my lack of grace, and you will, poor soul. We need the Lord to give us more and more grace, don't we? And what do we read in the Acts of the Apostles? It's a beautiful word, really. How they were given great grace. Great grace was upon them all. And you see, we need to be strong in grace to resist sin. Otherwise we're soon swept away by it, aren't we? We can soon fall. We soon know the evils there are in our deceitful heart, but may there be more and more grace given to us. Think of what the Lord said to the dear Apostle Paul. My grace. It's a wonderful word that is, isn't it? My grace is sufficient for thee. You may say, well, I'm faced with Satan, I'm faced with these enemies like Asa was, and all these many evils there were that trying to creep in and were in the land. And you think of the land of your heart and mine, within our own heart, the land there, the evils that creep in, oh, the grace we need. But he giveth more grace. Grace for grace. So he says here, be ye strong therefore. What an exhortation. Now I don't know why the Lord's given me this to bring before you, but may it be a word in season to your poor soul and mine. Be ye strong, therefore. And then he goes further, and I just hint at it. And let not your hands be weak. You know, faith has wonderful faculties. You think of a little babe when it is born, it's born with all the faculties it will ever have. And one of the faculties that we're blessed with are hands, aren't they? And those hands naturally do ever so many things. You think right through a person's life, if they're spared to 70 years, the allotted span, how many times those hands have been used. But then look at it spiritually. And let not your hands be weak. You take an old person. Their hands are not as strong when they get old that they were in the early days. They're weak. They're weak. But look at it spiritually. Oh, to have the hands of faith, and for those hands of faith to be strong. Well, you look in the Song of Solomon at the spouse. You know, when she sought him upon her bed and she couldn't find him, and she went out into the streets and the lanes of the city, and what she say to the watchman? Saw ye him whom my soul loveth? She couldn't rest until she found him, could she? But then when she found him, what do we read? She held him and would not let him go. The hands of faith embrace the dear Redeemer. He was like Mary Magdalene when he had risen, you know, and he revealed himself to her. He spoke to her, Mary. And what did she want to do? She wanted to embrace him. And that's what the hands of faith will do. And the arms of faith. Those faculties of faith. But the spouse, you know, she held him and would not let him go. May we have that faith given to us. Let not your hands be weak, but oh, may they be strong. Think of the sweet promises the Lord gives his dear people. Those promises that are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. The real exercised child of God is so troubled lest they should lay hold of them and the Lord has not given them to them. But when he does give them a promise from heaven, what will faith do? The hands of faith will embrace it. It's theirs. It's given by the Lord. And faith will keep it in the sinner's heart. And the powers of hell will never erase it. Oh no. The devil may roar. He may try and do all he can to take the promise away. But he never will. Because it's sealed in the heart and faith embraces it. It's given by the Lord, you see. Let not your hands be weak. The time's gone, but I was just thinking of that beautiful word in Isaiah. It's often quoted. It's a wonderful word, really. Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. That was a blessed exhortation to the church of God in Isaiah's day. Strengthen the weak hands. You know, a person's strength is often in their hands and in their knees. You know, if the knees get weak, they can't walk, can they? If the hands get weak, they can't handle things. They're two vital faculties for our daily life. But look at it spiritually. Oh, that there might be a strengthening of the weak hands. I'd look at it in two ways. Firstly, we need the Lord to enable us to plead that he would strengthen these weak hands that we have. But then, think of the Lord's dear people. It's a wonderful thing for a pastor and the Lord's servants when they go into the pulpit and they feel strengthened by the hands of the people, like Moses when Aaron and Hur held up his hands. They were there to strengthen him, weren't they? And what a mercy we still have a few in Zion that are strength and will strengthen the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. But I must leave it. Be ye strong, therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. Now, in conclusion, you know, the Lord was to wonderfully, you can read the chapter very closely at your leisure again, how he was to wonderfully reward Asa. And he will reward his dear people. He'll reward them here by favouring them with his presence, with his blessing, with the dew of heaven upon them. The final reward of being glory, when they will be enabled to crown him there, Lord of all, for he hath done all things well. Well, scratch the surface. May the Holy Spirit sweetly apply the word. Amen.